A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoldering wick he shall not quench, until he establishes justice on the earth. The coastlands will wait for his teaching. I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant of the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement, and from the dungeon, those who live in darkness. The word of the Lord. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter proceeded to speak to those gathered in the house of Cornelius, saying, in truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him. You know the word that he sent to the Israelites as he proclaimed peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. What has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee with the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, but yet you are coming to me. Jesus said to him in reply, allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he followed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water to behold, the heavens were opened for him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him, and a voice from the heavens saying, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord. My dear friends, before I start my homily, there's a couple of things that I want to share with you. First of all, on Friday, I had a meeting with the superintendent of the schools for the diocese. We're planning to move forward with some things in our school. And our superintendent's a very nice man, and he's rather new as well. But he said to me, and so I thought I would share this with you, that we have one of the best schools in the diocese. So what we're doing over there, as I guess, is a very, very good thing. And so I just want to, you know, if you're alumna from St. Peter's or even here from St. John's, product of Catholic education, so I just wanted to share that with you, that and the school is at pretty much at capacity enrollment. So our meeting, and I'm meeting with him again on Thursday, but he wanted to share that. He shared that with me, so I wanted just to share that with you, that what is going on over with our school, and I'm very proud of that, with our teachers and everything, that it is going very well. And also I want to share with you, a lot of you know Father Nicholas Mancini. You know from either Louisville or being on the radio. He's very, I'm very happy that he's so popular here amongst people in the Canton area. Well, Father Mancini's not doing too well, and parishioners yesterday, at Mass yesterday, let me know that he was in the hospital. So I went, and I went to go and visit him, and I gave him communion, I anointed him. And I left kind of upset, you know, not of course that I had visited him, but you know, because you have that special graces when you anoint, or you're able to anoint a brother priest. And Father Mancini and I go back a long time. Both of us are from Ohio, but we began our priestly ministry, a little different, but we were ministers in Pennsylvania. He in the Altoona Johnstown Diocese for many years, and I the Pittsburgh Byzantine Diocese. And we knew a lot of priests and stuff together. And he was just a very, very good man. And so when he came to the diocese here a little bit after I did, but I was happy to have him, you know, as a friend, you know, to come here. And there's a story about him that I'd like to share with you, share what kind of caliber that he is, and what kind of person he is. Well, we had an election, and we were running for some kind of office that they had us. They wanted us to vote on the priest, senate, or whatever. Well, one of our priests in the diocese, who was quite parochial, and I'm going to just speak very frankly, was being a real jerk. Kind of making fun of Father Mancini, because he wanted to run for office, and this priest was being rather obnoxious. Well, Nick, I don't know who you are, and, you know, and he was just going on and on and on. So Father Nick and I, and after myself and another younger priest defended him and put this one priest kind of in his place. But Father Mancini and I always greeted each other when we said, "Do I know you? Do I know you?" So you know, when I went into the hospital and he was laying there in the bed, I, "Nick, do I know you?" So keep him in prayer. You know, he's a fine, fine gentleman. And I think the upsetness is because, you know, I'm about probably to lose, you know, another good priest friend. You know, and you know, as life journey goes on, as we know, as all of us who are older and are getting older, we know how hard it is when you lose a good friend, you know, like that. But that is our faith, that we take the plunge. We take the plunge that Jesus saw John baptizing. He saw people there with John, sincere people, responding to John's call and committing themselves to the new kingdom of God. And that what John was preaching and saying that is at hand. Jesus saw people seeking to change the world by changing themselves, by repenting of their sins and reforming their lives. Jesus saw John, the last of the prophets of the old order, and the first of the prophets of the new order. John proclaimed that God will triumph, and he said that the one who is to come would be here soon. John saw the sincere people. Jesus saw the sincere people. And this impassioned John and the determination for God to reign. And Jesus wanted to be baptized. Why did Jesus want to be baptized? You can ask yourself that question because, you know, he went into the river and he was baptized by John, but he didn't need to be baptized because we know that Jesus is without sin. But the symbolism of Christ being baptized is simply this. It is the beginning of his public ministry. He would proclaim to the world that he was one with these people. And John, immediately, because of John's holiness, John immediately recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. Maybe he had that intuition. Who knows? You ever meet someone that I've been as a priest, I've been blessed. I've shared with you a number of times. I met these old bishops from Eastern Europe when I was in the seminary, some of these bishops who were in prison for their faith. They just radiate holiness. Or you meet people and other parishioners, and you know that I know that when I die, they're going to be 10 rows ahead of the bleachers than I am. Because they pray themselves into heaven. The people washed by John's baptism and consecrated to prepare for God must know that Christ was united with them. Jesus sees the moment that John was offering. He took the plunge. He went down into the water and was baptized. And then the voice from heaven rang out, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Take the plunge. Seize the moment. Seize the day. In Latin, a wonderful phrase, carpe diem. From the poem by Horace. And that great pagan poet was not talking about tomorrow, though. He was only talking about making the best use of the day. For us Christians, though, seizes the day to take advantage of the moment that God gives us to allow him to change our life and his world. The Christian seizes the day by preparing for tomorrow. So a senior couple moves down the block. They seem to be nice people, but they keep mostly to themselves, okay? You welcome them, but then you let them be. And a few waves here and there, but no real contact. And every Sunday you drive by their house on the way to church and you notice that their car is in the driveway. Perhaps they're not Christian, you think. Then you notice that they put up a few Christmas decorations. Maybe they just don't go to church, you wonder. But you let it be. You'd like to invite them to church, but you feel a bit awkward. You know, you feel a bit awkward. After all, you rarely speak to them. A few months later, you learn that the husband has had a stroke and is in the hospital. Should you visit? You barely know them. But you take the plunge and go to the hospital. They really appreciate your concern, and then a friendship develops. The man is able to go home, but he's rather limited in what he can do. So you stop by frequently and chew the fat and help them with some of their chores. Then you say you're leaving one Sunday. You'll say, I'm going to stop by and see you after Mass. But then they ask, would you mind if we come with you? God's grace entered their lives because you decided to seize the day. You went down the river. You went down to the river and you decided to make that visit to the hospital. Then there's that kid in the school who's basically obnoxious. His language is bad. His attitude is even worse. Everything in his world is as black as the clothes that he wears. And you figure that there's no reason to try to be friends with him. There's no reason except that God wants this kid to know why he loves him. And you see him alone one day and you decide to take that plunge into the river. We're having an ice cream social after Mass this weekend. Do you want to come? It's cool and there'll be other kids from the parish will be there. You figure that you'll be shocked out. But suppose he surprises you and he says, okay, I'm going to be there. He meets you at church and he likes it. It's not just the ice cream social that he likes. He likes being with kids who are being positive about life. His life gradually changes. Why? Because you decided to seize the day. You went into the river and declared yourself one with someone who was searching for God. A little bit closer to home. There was a member of our local Monsignor Graham Knights of Columbus. I'm not going to say who it is. But he decided, and he sent me a card. And in his card, he had his business card. And in his card, he says, Father, I have decided to send Christmas cards to all the priests of the diocese because I know what you guys are going through. And when I read that, this card says, if you only knew. If you only knew. You know, and not bad, of course, but you know, some people, you know, when you have, you know, when you're like dealing with ulcers, you know, some people carry them and they give them to you. Maybe not intentionally, but it happens. So I sent this man an email and I says, thank you. And I says, I hope that some of the priests respond. And he told me in church, he says, the bishop sent me an email, you sent me an email. He says, but I received cards back from a number of the priests thanking me for remembering them at Christmas. And so it goes. He risked and he went down to the river. I share in my bulletin article this week, and again, I'm sorry we ran out of bulletins again, so I think what I'm going to do is next week, if we have extra ones left over from St. Peter's, I'll bring them over. So that's a sign of two things to me. Either you're reading my columns, or maybe not so good, I don't know. Or the Mass attendance is good. So the Mass attendance is good, we've run out of bulletins. But if you go online, you can read what I write about. I talk about my vocation. Because I talk about my sister's parish in Akron. It's closing today. Fine, old, storied history parish in Kenmore, Immaculate Conception, that had a storied history of over 100 years. But Kenmore and the area has declined, the neighborhood has declined. They were having maybe about 30 people at Mass on Sunday. So it just kind of, you know, how the ebb and flow of neighborhoods that I write about in my column. But I write about my whole parish. St. John the Baptist, who we celebrate today, has followed me since I've been an infant. St. John the Baptist was a parish where I was baptized. St. John the Baptist was my first parish when I was first ordained a priest in Uniontown, Pennsylvania. I'm at St. John the Baptist parish now. So John has followed me around. But there's an interesting story about my parish where I was baptized. There were three of us priests who were baptized in 1 year. All three of us born 1966, baptized by the same priest. None of us stayed as a priest in the Diocese of Cleveland. As I guess you know, again, the ebb and flow of neighborhoods. The priest who baptized us was a priest from Youngstown. So he stole two of us to become priests in Youngstown Diocese. Probably some of you might know the other priest, Father Leo Werlin. Leo is from North Canton, St. Paul's. Father Bill Richko is a priest in the Diocese of Columbus. So I don't know what happened there. It must have been the Slovak water that they used. I don't know. But nonetheless, we became priests. We became priests. There are so many graced moments in our lives. There are many times that we can allow God to draw us closer to Him. Some of these times are obvious, like confirmation and marriage and conventions and retreats, our sacraments that we receive. There are other times that might not be so obvious, ordinary times that we're called to make things extraordinary. How do we make the ordinary extraordinary? Very simply, by seizing the day, by taking the plunge. Respond to God's call and plunge into the river. It does not matter how old you are. Because we today, what we will do with that blessing once again of water, to remind ourselves of our own baptism. You know, we should know that date, even more so than our birthday. And we should pray for that priest or the deacon who baptized us, who brought us with our parents and our godparents into this, which is supposed to be a wonderful faith. It is supposed to be. But we human beings run the thing. So, you know, we find ourselves in trouble a lot of times. We are called, though, to seize the day and to be one with the one seeking the kingdom of God. There's a reflection, too, that I just for today that I want to share with you. It's a reflection for today. And I think it's apropos. And this is what it says. When we settle down in life on the grounds that we are too old or too tired or too limited or too restricted to reach out and learn of what life is about, we not only delimit ourselves, we shrink the rest of the world to our own small size as well. Thomas Edison said, "We shall have no better conditions in the future if we are satisfied with all those that we have at present." I'll say that quote again. We shall have no better conditions in the future if we are satisfied with all those which we have at present. Meeting with Father Mancini yesterday, and I received a nice poem or reflection from Father Ovi Margenian. He's the rector at St. George's Romanian down the street on 44th Street. He sends me his bulletins, and I enjoy reading his bulletins. And he had a reflection on the priesthood, because they had just had a St. Nicholas dinner to raise funds for their priest retirement fund. And this is a reflection on the priesthood, but on this day, we renew our baptismal promises. You know, we should all of us renew our love and joy that we have for our faith. And if that joy has gone out a little bit, if it has rusted a little bit, like canned water, I have replaced, I don't know now how many water heaters and stuff here in our parishes. Thank you, canned water. So if we're like that, if we get rusty like that, just to renew ourselves, because we always. And so this is what this saying says. It's about priests. May the blessings released through your hands cause windows to open in darkened minds. May the sufferings your calling brings be but winter before the spring. May the companionship of your doubt restore your beliefs left out. May the secret hungers of your heart harvest from the emptiness its sacred fruit. May your solitude be a voyage into the wilderness and wonder of God. May your words have the prophetic edge to enable the heart to hear itself. May the silence where your calling dwells foster your freedom in all you do and feel. And may you find words full of divine warmth to clothe the dying in the language of dawn. And may the slow light of the Eucharist be a sure shelter around your future. God bless you.